Why would anyone say or suspect anything different? A generation earlier, our historic church had been pastored for many years by a highly effective and faithful man who held a different view from mine of how the last days before Christ's return will unfold. I had been honest about these differences when the church invited me to be its pastor, and I encouraged the congregation not to make too much of them since we were together on all the essentials of the gospel. I said, "Let me pastor and preach for a couple of years so that you trust I'm committed to Christ and Scripture. Then we'll be ready to study together what the Bible says about the end times." The 2 years passed, and with the encouragement of our church's leaders, I boldly launched into a sermon series on Daniel, one of the Bible's most prophecy-filled books. Still, I have a few grains of pastoral discretion in my noggin. Even though that influential pastor had gone to be with the Lord more than 20 years before my arrival, I thought it would be best to proceed the sermon series with a multi-evening seminar on some of the different views of the end times that have been held by Bible-believing leaders around the globe and through the centuries. I tried to be fair in presenting the viewpoints of those with whom I differed. I attempted to convey the biblical arguments each historic view uses to support its distinctions. Finally, I affirmed the faith of all who held to the essentials of salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood and bodily resurrection of God's Son. Good people may differ on some of these end times matters, I generously offered. Then I concluded, "But we all agree that Jesus died for our sins, rose in victory over them, and is coming back to judge the wicked and welcome his people to heaven's eternal blessings." I'm sure that in my heart, I congratulated myself for such a good, thorough, fair, and biblical presentation. Later, I was able to go through the Daniel sermon series with much appreciation from the people who shook my hand as they left church each Sunday. I thought, "We've tackled the end times controversies and come through unscathed." Then this dear lady tells me that the consequence of all my pastoral preparation, preaching, and prayer is that her friends in the church think that I don't believe Jesus is coming back. Dominoes, details, and differences. I was experiencing what many other pastors have feared and fought. People can get so attached to a particular view of end times prophecies that if you don't agree with them, then they think you don't believe the Bible. They further reason, "Since you don't believe the Bible, then you must not believe Jesus is coming back at all. You might not even be a Christian." The consequence of these thought dominoes is that some people become even more devoted to the details of a particular view of the end times, also called the last days. They seem determined to figure out where we are on the biblical timeline of the coming of the Antichrist, the length of the tribulation, and the identity of the assembling nations that battle at Armageddon. However, most people shy away from such controversies and details. Believing that the matters are more complex than ordinary Christians can calibrate, they cling to a basic belief that Jesus is coming back, but leave the prophetic particulars to the more informed preachers and internet junkies who loved illustrated timelines and study insights into how our nightly news connects to biblical prophecies. Most Christians don't remember the exact sequence of the rapture, the Antichrist, the tribulation, and Armageddon. They only have a good general sense that Christ is supposed to come from heaven to take us back to heaven. That basic perception is occasionally spiced with popular movie or best-selling book images, or raptured pilots disappearing from planes in mid-flight, an Antichrist who appears to be either the devil or the latest president we don't like, tank columns on the fields of Israel with jets or UFOs flying.